Joe, and my husband is Anton, and we are blessed with two beautiful daughters, Avli and Anaya. We come from a land called Sri Lanka, and I want to take some time to give glory to God, what He has done throughout this year. And for the last 4 years back in Sri Lanka, we couldn't enjoy Christmas at all. We didn't celebrate Christmas the way we wanted, with the God's glory and joy. But this year, with His mercy in our life, after a very long time, we had a very good Christmas. I never wanted to cry, I'm sorry. So, how we came to Canada is a miracle. Me and my husband, we went to a retreat center, and I had a dream like God is taking me to a country. And I was just thinking it's just a dream. But the next day, the pastor revealed while he's reading the Bible, and God highlighted some words saying that, I'm taking Anton and Sagaya to the very far nation. So I understood His plan for me. Then we started going for agencies, not Canada, because we never wanted to come to Canada because it's very cold. But but every door was closed. Even when we went to Australia, we didn't even sit. The lady looked at my face and like, no, you can't apply. So every door was closed. And when we started applying for Canada, it was gracefully done. We didn't suffer much. And we understood, okay, this is God's plan for us. Because it was, the expectations were too high. But we made it very simple way with God's strength and mercy. And when we came here, the first thing we spoke, we need to go to a church. And we end up here because it's very close to us. And our life changed from there. And the simple gestures of this church believers and the messages changed our life drastically. Because we were having a Christian life in a different way. Our faith were different, but we understood after coming here there is no judgment, and there is love, and there is taking care of each and everyone. Sometimes me and my husband, we talk, how come this much of love for us? Like, how come the church people can love us this much? Because sometimes we used to get text like, how we are doing, is there anything they wanted to pray for us, because that's what Jesus wants a church wants to be. And it's changed our life, how we speak at home and how we pray at home and how we speak to our children and how we both speak to our community people. It changed our life. It's a simple step, but now I see it has changed our faith in Jesus drastically, and He has brought up from a very different place now. I could feel that, and thank you for doing it, and keep doing it. This church is changing lives, and thank you for that. And I just want to say few things what has happened throughout this year. First, my husband, he got a job in a ministry-centered workplace, which we never thought of. And then I'm supposed to finish my studies only by January, but God has given me strength to finish it earlier, which I never thought of I could do it. Then, while doing my studies, people made me think it's very hard to be a teacher here in Canada as an immigrant. And at a point, I believed so, because every one of us, they were saying, no, you can try, go to another path, not a teacher. But I didn't even tell my husband, because whenever I tell him it's very hard, he used to tell me, whom are you believing? Are you believing people or God? You are a child of God. You shouldn't believe that. But within inside me, I was like too scared, like, because I wanted to be a teacher. At a point, I just stopped dreaming and told God, only you could do it, because no man could pursue, like, to take me to what I wanted. Only you could do it. And I stopped applying also. So I was very happy with the workplace what I used to be. And once Alyssa and Jeremy, they called and told me, you should apply. There is an opening. Then I gave so many reasons just to, you know, pass it out. Because I know I can't stand it. Because I thought maybe I can't do it. Then I told, no, I can't. Maybe we'll see after 1 year. Then after 2 weeks, again, Alyssa called me and like, I know you don't want to do it, but just I'm just sending you the details. Just give a try. Then my husband told me, you are very bad in thinking that way. If God opening a door, you should try and go through it. Then I started believing, and I started believing, yes, I'm going to be a teacher. Then I knelt down and I said sorry to God, and you're opening a door, I shouldn't have done it. Then I applied, I went through interviews, and the moment I got to know, like, they are giving me a place in Thunder Bay Christian School, I couldn't handle it because it's too much for me to take it, it's a very miracle for me and even for the Christian community who don't know who is Jesus, because even now they call me and tell me, your God did it for you, because that is what I really wanted it. And the same night I couldn't sleep, when my children were sleeping, I was like crying throughout the night, asking God, do you love me this much? And then I realized our story didn't start this way. So when we got married, we were like happily married, had everything. We had nothing to worry about. But after a few years, it's like Job's life. Everything started going away from us. Not at the same day, but it's throughout 4 years. Everything was going financially. We were doing so bad. And our marriage was falling apart. And everyone was thinking that we were very strong to handle this. But we were so weak. Nobody knew it. Only in the night when my two girls were sleeping, I won't sleep, because the only person I knew was Jesus. I know only He could take us from the place. And it was so much of judgments around us because we were the only believers in the whole family. And I used to kneel down and I used to bend down. And as Jacob asked, Jacob never let God go. And he was holding the legs. Then I used to say, God, this is your leg. I'm not letting you go. You should bless me today. So this was my prayers throughout for 4 years, asking for His grace, asking for His mercy. Because at a point, it was too much for us to even to live with those pains. And now I see, when I'm turning back, God has taken up where even I and my husband cannot think of. And He has taken our tears away and He has filled it with joy. And I give glory to God. And even I thank this church to guide us and to, you know, take us with your journey to how Jesus wants our family to be. And thank you for doing this. And I give all the glory and thank for the Jesus and God only. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I get a little bit emotional listening to their story, because we're gonna read a little bit of a story today about these people called the children of Israel who had this journey of God's leading. And in this story, this journey is quite messy and quite bumpy. But Alyssa and I have known Anton and Sagaya and their family for a little time now. And we've seen them work so hard to make it work in Canada. You know, just because you leave Sri Lanka and come to Canada doesn't mean life is easy. And we've seen them, you know, Anton works two jobs day and night to provide for his family. And so we've learned a lot from them and been blessed by them. And thank you, Sagaya, for sharing your story with us today. As I mentioned, we're halfway between New Year's and Christmas, and I wish there was a phrase for that. Oh, I can't think of something to say. Something in between New Year's and Christmas. But I hope you had a good Christmas. And as you come into the new year, I don't know if you're of the thought of, hey, I should try a New Year's resolution. I should do something new this year. It's a pretty common thing to have a New Year's resolution. I did a quick Google search, and according to the Toronto Star, people make New Year's resolutions, and typically, the one study found that one in four people fail their resolutions within a week. Nearly half fail by the end of January. And the Toronto Star went on to say that sometimes it feels as if resolutions are made to be broken. And then they went on with a bunch of tips from psychologists on how to, like, keep your New Year's resolutions. So I won't be doing a study today on how to keep your New Year's resolutions. And I honestly think resolutions are a good idea. I think that thinking about your life and the direction you're headed and reassessing that, whether it's at New Year's or in the middle of the summer or in the fall, is always a good idea. But today, I'm going to land us with a strange kind of resolution. And instead of stacking up a whole list of to-dos or things that we might do to improve our life in 2025, it's sort of a pun on the word resolution. It's called resurrender. Resurrender. Kind of counterintuitive to building up a list of resolutions. It's surrender. When you think about the word surrender, what do you think of? Typically, you think of war and surrendering, and usually the surrender isn't something that you want to do. It's something that you have to do. The dictionary says, surrender is the action of yielding one's person or giving up the possession of something, especially into the power of another. When I talk about surrender today, I'm ultimately talking about surrendering to God. And in this surrender to God, I'm not talking about this controlling kind of surrender where God says, you must surrender. But rather, and I was trying to think of images or ideas in our culture that would, you know, think of what surrender would look like. And the first one I thought of is marriage. Marriage. So when you think about surrendering, you think about a wedding day and you think about two people, you know, madly in love with each other. They're going to get married. And what they're doing on that day is they're surrendering themselves to each other. I mean, all of us that are married know what comes after that is that you gladly did that the day that of your wedding. But after that, there's going to be plenty of days that although you willfully surrendered yourself to another person, you wake up or you run into situations and you are all of a sudden faced with, I willingly surrendered myself to this person, but today, I'm only surrendering because I promised that I would, for no other reason. And so your surrender is willful, but in the course of your life, there are moments where you're doing it out of duty or because you have chosen this person. And so thinking of our surrender word today, surrendering to Christ, I'm thinking of the same kind of idea. I think of just, you know, you start with marriage and you get this picture of surrender, and then you start having kids. And I've never raised a baby, but I have been blessed with some awesome teenagers. And let me tell you that, you know, your marriage starts off with surrender, and then every kid you have just increases this level of surrender that happens inside of you. We're going to look at Psalm 81. And I was out for a walk with my wife, and I was just saying to her, like, what do you think I should preach on? Because it's kind of in between Christmas and New Year's, and what are we going to talk about? We're starting a new series in the new year. And I don't know if she meant to say this, but she said, maybe you should talk on surrender. And the next day, I think it was, I was reading Psalm 81, and I thought, hey, if there's a blueprint for surrender and how to have a successful life in 2025, I think Psalm 81 would do a great job. So if you got a Bible, I'm going to read out of the NLT version today, which we read this entire psalm during the worship. But I'm hoping that at the end of today, it makes a bit more sense and just hits home with us. So verse 1 says, sing praises to God our strength. Sing to the God of Jacob. Sing. Beat the tambourine, play the sweet lyre and the harp. Blow the ram's horn at new moon and again at full moon to call a festival. For this is required by the decrees of Israel. It is a regulation of the God of Jacob. He made it a law for Israel when he attacked Egypt to set us free. And so just thinking of you, yourself, this year in 2024. And thinking of how this psalm starts off with sing and make praises to the Lord. Maybe one way to finish off this year and start 2025 is just that way. You know, what this author is doing is he's calling a celebration, a feast. He's saying, like, let's throw a party. Let's do something big here. Let's blow the ram's horn. The feasts in the Jewish culture were ones of not only just like our New Year's party, where we have a New Year's party and we stay up till midnight and we have fun with each other, but a feast was to meet with God. These were times and places where this feast was to meet with God. And so, thinking of yourself as you finish 2024, start 2025. Maybe this is an opportunity for us, I don't know, maybe get up early on January 1st and meet with God. Maybe as part of your evening celebrations, staying up late, maybe together as a family or as friends, meet with God. Spend some time thinking about this. The psalm goes on and says that there's a reason for this celebration, or there's a reason to be glad. And part of it is because God commanded this to be so. But what the writer is doing is looking back to the past and saying, but why are we glad? Like, why are we spending time throwing a feast and praising God and surrendering ourselves? And there's a strange sentence that says, I heard an unknown voice say, now I will take the load from your shoulders. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. You cried to me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered out of the thundercloud and tested your faith when there was no water at Meribah. And this unknown voice seems to be this, like, third person saying, now I will take the load from your shoulders. And then it kind of switches to be that God is the one speaking. So it's a strange phrase. Maybe we'll just take it as it's God speaking here. He's saying to the people, I will take the load from your shoulders. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. The NIV says, your hands were set free from the basket. And what this is doing is referring back to the children of Israel when they were slaves for 400 years in the land of Egypt. And God sees them there, and he says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. And he says, now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. In 2024, are there ways in which God has taken a load from your shoulders? Or that he sets your hands free from the basket? This image of this basket is these slaves had to carry everything in the basket to build what they were commanded to build. So he says, I'm going to set your hands free from the basket. And then he says, I answered you. Like, I did set you free. I answered you from the thundercloud. It makes me think in my life, in 2024, back to the moments where I know that God saw me. Do you have any of those moments? Because these are reasons to throw a party. But even more than the moments where I know that God saw me clearly, when I think of my life today, I think back, you know, to when I was a kid or a teenager, and I think of the times where I didn't think God saw me that clearly. But now with time and perspective, it's more clear. And I have these images in my mind. I think most of you know, but I grew up in a Christian home. Awesome Christian home. And yet at the same time, there was a view of God that was very difficult for me to understand in my community and my Christian home. And so I was kind of like a good kid. I did the best that I could. But because of the environment and everything, I was so terrified of who God was. And so I have these images that I still remember, and they hurt. They're painful, of times when I would pray and ask God to save me from whatever this thing was that I thought I had done wrong. And there would be sweat dripping down my back, and it would be terrifying and terrible. And then I have memories of that kind of thing and many, many more such memories where I felt alone and where it felt like God was not there. Then I remember this time in my life where God changed all that. It had disappeared. And then for whatever reason, circumstances came into my life which brought a lot of that back to me. And so I suddenly have these fears again, and it's actually within that time that I feel like, hey, I want to be involved with Nathan Maskery planting a church in Thunder Bay. So I decide to move to the Thunder Bay. And it may be hard for you to understand, but my decision to move to Thunder Bay was filled with incredible amount of fear. Like, I stressed over that decision like you cannot believe it. Stressed and stressed, trying to make sure that I was making the right decision. And so these I'm pointing these out because these are times in my life where I did not see God's presence or his wonder or his majesty in a clearly obvious way. But when I look back now at those times, I see that God was there. And so this 30-some-year-old single guy comes to Thunder Bay and starts working at the church some and volunteering. Ends up meeting Alyssa up here and gets married and becomes part of this blended family. And I can tell you there are many days in my role as a stepdad in our home that I do not feel or see God at work. And yet, when I look back today, at the end of 2024, I know God was there. I see that he has done things in me and in our family. And I was just thinking, some of the situations that I get to experience as God does this work inside of me in being part of our family. But as I was saying, like, marriage for one starts to make you a better person, let alone having kids and all that. So I can think of very overwhelming situations in the last year where I come home and the house needs fixed. The house needs fixing. I remember in February, it rained a lot on a February day, and the entire finished basement flooded. And so Alyssa and I are downstairs at 1 a.m. pulling out carpet. But not only does the house need fixing, the vehicles need fixing, and the lawn needs fixing, and the appetites need fixing, and the kids need fixing, and I need fixing. And honestly, it's the internal stuff inside of myself that's harder than all of those things combined. And so I think of times where emotions were high and words were flying, and how all those things, I remember distinct times of opening the barbecue in the backyard, and my brain is just physically tired. I'm just like, man, like I don't know if I can handle much more. And it's in those moments that Christ is there. It is that Christ is there. And honestly, that phrase comes from a mentor of mine. I meet with a mentor weekly, and this mentor, I get to tell him all about my life, and it's super helpful. And usually when I tell him something that's kind of distressing about myself or the situation that I'm in, he says, Jeremy, Christ is there. And so when we think of the children of Israel looking back, what they're doing is looking back to these awesome things that God has done and saying, this is a reason to throw a feast. But do you realize that there was a journey for those people every time they got to this big, awesome thing that God had done? And that's exactly what the next sentence says. It says, I tested your faith when there was no water at Meribah. Well, what happened at Meribah was that the people that were wandering through the desert now, these slaves that had gotten away from Egypt, were now incredibly thirsty, probably at least 3 days without water, and they start to complain. And it's not the first time this happened. It's the second time that they've had no water, and they start to complain. And what they say is to Moses, they ask this question, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Thinking of yourself in 2024, have you asked that question? Is the Lord among us or not? Me, as I open the barbecue and my brain's overwhelmed with everything, is the Lord among us or not? And so the people grumble there at Meribah. And God shows up, and Moses, I think, hits the rock. Actually, not sure what he does to the rock, but water comes out of the rock, and these people are cared for. And God's basic question is to all of us, not just the children of Israel this time, is, will you trust me? Will you believe that I am among you? So today, the Lord is among us. The Lord sees us. The next part of the psalm is this word called Selah, which simply means pause. In 2024, as you go into 2025, maybe a pause is a good idea, thinking of how God has led us. Maybe look for those moments, those ordinary moments where life isn't what you thought it would be, and yet God is there. And then verse 8 tells us, listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings. O Israel, if you would only listen to me, you must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. We maybe read this and we think, no, they're like foreign gods. Like this is idols. Like that's not me. I don't do that kind of thing. That's so weird. But let me tell you, idols today are as alive as ever. Maybe they look different, but they're quite alive. And God is saying to the people, like, you guys want to do well? Listen to my words. You must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. I think of some modern-day idols that I think that there are. There's power, politics, money, maybe social media, all kinds of stuff. just the desire for security, sex, being noticed, just this desire to be noticed, right? And often in our culture, what we do is we go after that one thing. We chase that one thing. It becomes our idol. We don't even really realize it, but it's become our idol. And so we miss this calling that God has called us to be. Did you know that in Genesis 1, when God talks about creating humans in his own image, that word image means idol? God created us as his idol. So that doesn't mean that God's going to bow down to us. But what that means is we're created in the likeness of God. So anytime that we take something like power, politics, money, social media, stuff, sex, security, and we make it our thing, we're actually not only insulting God who designed us and said, listen, your being is created for me. We're also trying to take ourselves and saying, I'm going to bow myself to that thing when we're the one that is God's idol. So it's like, it's an insult to yourself. It's an insult to yourself. You and I are called to be the living representation of who Christ is. We are an extension of Christ to this world. We're to be bringing Christ everywhere that we go. That's what sort of that idol image has, is that you are God's idol and you are the one that is meant to be the representation of who this awesome God is. Verse 10 tells us, for it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. God has rescued these people from a bad place, and there's this invitation. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. You think about 2025. You think you could surrender yourself? You could open your mouth wide, your heart wide to God, and that he would fill it this year? You think that's a possibility? There's a promise here. Open your mouth wide. Instead of a list of resolutions and things to do and things to improve, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That is the place of surrender. Now, I'm afraid here sometimes when we think of this, we think of happiness and our mouth open wide or our heart open wide and everything's going awesome. But there's going to be testing moments. Your faith will be tested at the waters of Meribah, guaranteed. And I often talk to people and they tell me that because life is so difficult, because things haven't gone well, they have turned and at the time walked away from Christ. Gone away, turn the other direction. Why? Because life is too difficult. And so we quit sometimes, right? Because it's hard. And so my challenge is, can we open our mouth wide so Christ will fill it? But also remember, life is going to have difficulty, lots of difficulty in it. No matter whether you follow Christ today and surrender yourself, or no matter whether you decide not to, life is going to give you difficulty. It will. And to follow Christ isn't to escape difficulty. It is to have someone with you in the difficulty. Verse 11, but no, my people wouldn't listen. Israel did not want me around, so I let them follow their own stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas. You know, when I grew up, I often thought of God as a very punishing God, and it was terrifying. But I think that I often misread, you know, this. I had this very messed up idea of who God was. And to me, this right here is the worst of all of God's punishments, that he would leave us to our own desires. Have you noticed about yourself that left your own desires, you tend to self-destruct yourself? Like, that is what most of us do as humans. We go down this path and we kind of self-destruct. And so for God to give us that doesn't have a very happy ending, does it? Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my paths. How quickly I would then subdue their enemies. How soon my hands would be upon their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him. They would be doomed forever. But I would feed you with the finest wheat. I would satisfy you with wild honey from the rock. And this image is just one simply of that, of great love, care, and concern that God has for his people. Great love, care, and concern. So again, think of 2025. You want to know how to have a good 2025? Maybe we just do what Psalm 81 is telling us here. Maybe we open our mouth wide so that God would fill it. Maybe we surrender ourselves to this God. As I said earlier, it's a journey. Thinking of Anton and Sagaya, like, you think that they knew that their life was going to one day Sagaya be up here on the stage telling her story about what happened in her life? There's no way. There's no way she would know that. And yet she looks back, her and Anton look back, and they see God at work. And so I imagine us as a church in 2025 surrendering. Surrendering weekly, surrendering daily, surrendering minutely. And each one of us carries something in our heart to be surrendered. Maybe multiple things in our hearts to be surrendered. Maybe our expectations of how life ought to be. Maybe even our efforts to change ourselves. Something to surrender. Maybe surrender our apathy today. Maybe our addictions today. Our anger. Our hurt. Our broken relationships, our insecurities, our fears of job loss, our fears for the future of this nation, our unanswered prayers, our shame. And it's when we do this surrendering that we open ourselves up to the help of God and to the help of each other. Let's not surrender to those false idols, those ones that are lesser than, those ones that we're not even created to give our worship to. And let's live in the image of the one who created us. You and I are the hands and feet of Jesus. It makes me think of a song that goes like this. Christ has no body here but ours, no hands, no feet here on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes through which he looks on this world with kindness. Ours are the hands through which he works. Ours are the feet on which he moves. Ours are the voices through which he speaks to this world with kindness. Through our touch, our smile, our listening ear, embodied in us, Jesus is living here. Often, I look for, or I have in the past, look for the miracles. I have looked for the revivals. I have looked for the healings. And I still do. But don't despise the small things today. Don't despise the fact that God has given you a family. God has given you friends. God has given you a workplace. God has given you a career. God has given you a ministry to work at, a church to be at. And that God is calling you in those places, in those simple ordinary places to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the hands and feet of Jesus to someone else. And so today, maybe open your mouth wide in surrender and remember that whatever your situation is, no matter how broken, no matter how good, no matter what stress, no matter you name that item, that Christ is there. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. I'm going to call the worship team up at this time and close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence And Lord, I just pray that we could surrender ourselves afresh to you at the end of 2024, the beginning of 2025. Lord, that we could be filled with your Spirit and that we would be your hands and feet, the hands and feet of Christ to people around us, that we would not bow ourselves down to lesser things, to idols, but that we would be the people that you have called us to be. Lord, that will be done as we surrender to you. And so, Lord, we do surrender. Come and have your way with us. Shape us, help us, save us, teach us your ways. Lord, we come to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, you guys can go ahead and